Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Good Saturday evening after a snowy storm in the Michigan region. Don't know what the weather has been like in your area, but we got some snow. Well, this is Michigan, so we are accustomed to snow. We got it, honey. We got it. And that's okay. God is good. I pray that everybody's power is being restored. That you are all shoveled out, that you're comfortable in your places of residence. Good evening to you. My name happens to be LaTanya Harris Gooden. Just call me LHG. I am the host of Critical Conversations. Good evening. Good evening. Hello, cool gamer. And good evening. And thank you for coming through this evening. Tonight, we are talking about corporal punishment. We're going to discuss the debate, argument, discussion between those who are for corporal punishment and who may be against it. Blessings to you, Elder Cobb. Truly, truly enjoyed you and Elder Chrissy Lawson, Dr. Chrissy, this morning. And I'm going to talk about what happened this morning as well. We're talking about spanking, whooping, hitting, beating our children and what psychological effect that has on our children. Yes, we know those of us who are Christians, and there's scripture in the Bible that talks about chastising and how that is a form of love, but do we oftentimes take that too far? And corporal punishment in the hands of people who have violent tendencies might be dangerous, detrimental, and harmful for our babies. Too many rods, not enough language. That is our discussion tonight. So, couple of announcements. I have a YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe to Critical Conversations with LHG on YouTube. I have a Facebook page. Woo! We made it to 1,000 followers. Thank you to each and every one of you who have been supporters of this platform. Shout out to Trailblazers with the Z Radio. That is how I am coming to you, CEO Fred Beatty, and to the entire staff and team. I love you all. This is my happy place. Thank you, Elder Cobb. Thank you so much for being a supporter of this platform. For those of you who do not know, Elder Cobb has been a guest on this show a couple of times. She is the forgiveness coach. I love her. She has personally helped me through a major moment of healing in my life, and I'm still being healed. Thank you, Elder, and we love you. We love you. I invite you to purchase her book, Free to Forgive. Please follow her on social media if you want to understand forgiveness at a deeper level. She gives her testimony. She is a member of Second Ebenezer, an elder, an ordained elder at Second Ebenezer Church with Detroit's Bishop Edgar Van. We love him. Detroit loves him. Shout out to my church, Kingdom Covenant, Pastor David Johnson, Lady Kimia. Those are my leaders who I love dearly. So get in here. I need you to tag, share, invite. We are going to discuss corporal punishment. What is that, girl? Whooping, spanking, beating. And we're going to take our time with this. We may or may not get through all of my notes tonight, but I really want to take this step by step. And let me just say and preface this conversation with, this is not to embarrass, expose, humiliate, or demean anyone. I picked these topics because I am on a healing journey, and we all have experienced things in our lifetime that have contributed to how we stand up in adulthood, how we stand up in relationships, how we stand up in the workplace. So my goal is to discuss those topics about stuff that has happened to us that we have not given a voice to, that maybe it's time to take a moment and put it under the spotlight just enough to understand, not to be mean, not to be bitter, not to humiliate, but we all have a story. Yes, Elder Cobb, We love Bishop and Pastor Sheila Van as well. And thank you for loving on my leaders. If I'm not mistaken, I believe your pastor is my pastor's pastor. We always are talking about Second Ebb, and Second Ebb has been a pillar in the Detroit area for many years. As a child, I can remember when Bishop Edgar Van had a youth choir and they recorded albums, and it was phenomenal. So shout out to Second Ebb, Kingdom Covenant. Hello, Dr. Gaynelle Harper, my sister, my paparazzi sister is in the house. And speaking of that, grace and peace to you, Dr. Gaynelle. I want to remind you that I am a whole paparazzi consultant. You see the bling, right? I ain't playing with y'all. I've been doing this for about 3 years. It is an excellent way to have your own business, make additional money to supplement your income. Oxtails and chicken wings is too expensive right now. You need extra money right now to be able to go to the grocery store and get the things you love and not take out a second mortgage. You need an extra income. Come and join Paparazzi. And guess what? As of this year, Paparazzi has changed the game. You can join and become a consultant for $20. Yeah, you heard me right. Ain't no bad connection. $20. It's called the Party Permit. It gets you your free website that customers can order from you and you can get commission, and it gives you the wholesale pricing off the bat. Yeah, $20. That's one package. The other one is called the Verified Influencer Package for $99. It includes the Party Permit. So you get the website, you get the wholesale pricing, but you also get to pick 35 of our standard pieces, 35 beautiful pieces of affordable jewelry for you to sell and jumpstart your business. It is a game changer. If anybody out there has been considering doing something on the side that could possibly be your main thing, your main squeeze, I need you to get in contact with me right away. I want to have you on my team. When I tell you, being a paparazzi consultant has changed my confidence level, I'm learning marketing, advertising, I get free jewelry, I've met amazing men and women. Yes, there are men paparazzi consultants, because we sell men's jewelry as well, okay? Come on. So I would love to have you all on my team. I will drop my website in the comments. There's information about how you can join. I would love, love, love to share this opportunity with you. I really would. All right. Announcements. Monday at 2:30 p.m. Dr. Gaynelle, yes. You know I'm going to be out here telling it, testifying. It's testimony service. Yes, it is. Monday at 2:30. Monday Power Hour is back. And I just met with Simone Austin, the president of our support club. She got her a new calendar. We are talking about calendars, prioritizing, and time management. You've been asking God to enlarge territory, to take you out, launch you in the deep. You've been asking God to do a lot of good stuff, but are you willing to manage your time, prioritize, and flow the right way? Power Hour is 60 minutes of business strategies, foundational business strategies, to make sure we are setting ourselves up for what? Good success. Yes, God. Yes, God. So that's Monday at 2:30. And then on Tuesday, Girl Chat Weekly is back. And we are talking about mothers and daughters, the mother and daughter bond, how it is detrimental to that child's development, how they love. Oh, we going in there. We going in there. So if you haven't already, tag, share, subscribe. You want to make sure you're getting notifications regarding when we're coming on. And we have shows all through the week. And I have coworkers who come on with amazing dialogue and conversations as well. CEO Fred Beatty has shows. We are getting ready to do part two of his value for the men show. We're going to go there. So just make sure you are in the know. All right. All right. Let's pray. And then we're going to get into our topic for this evening. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you, Lord. I praise you. I honor you. You are such an amazing Father. I am so grateful for this day you've given us, for this is the day that you made especially for us. And my choice, no matter what's happening in my life, no matter who comes, no matter who goes, is to rejoice in the days you give me. Thank you for putting me on the wake up list again. Thank you, God, for gifting us with another set of 24 hours to get better, to get wiser, to get stronger. I thank you, God, for every person who comes through the live chat or the replay. Thank you for Trailblazers Radio and for this platform, Critical Conversations. Thank you for the healing. Oh, thank you, God, that takes place when we confess and when we give our life a voice and when we share and when we connect, God. Thank you, because healing is our portion. Thank you, God, because the body has been keeping the score even when we don't tell our story. So, God, thank you for the freedom of expression. Thank you for healing, deliverance, set us free, God, for anything that has us bound in this season, God. Thank you, God, for us being greater in our finances, greater in our businesses, greater even in our ministries. God, I give you praise, honor, and glory. Do what you do best. Show up, show out, and I'll just sit back and say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. If you have never watched this show, this particular podcast was birthed out of a place of trauma, out of a place of pain. And my therapist introduced me to the seven dimensions. Amen, Dr. Gaynell. Amen, Elder Cobb. We were talking about the seven dimensions of wellness in therapy. There is physical wellness, emotional wellness, spiritual wellness, financial, social, vocational, environmental. So what I do every time you see my face, my discussions are centered around some dimension of wellness, because I don't know about you, but I just happen to believe that God wants us to be well and whole in every area. I just believe that Jeremiah 29 and 11 is really saying God wants us prospering in every area and not this teeter-totter effect. You get one thing together and something else is out of control. That's where anxiety, depression, and stress comes in. I just believe that wholeness and wellness in every area is God's will for us. Now, I'm not saying it's going to always be easy, but I just believe that if we live according to his principles, hey, Coach V, and if we are studying the word, if we are in a good Bible teaching ministry, if we got a village, because mine is in the comments, they're coming through here. If we got the right connections, that we can be whole in every area, all right? One thing that I just started really reconciling in my mind was that I have been victimized by childhood trauma, sexual assault, and I never gave a voice to it. I never even said it. And do you know when it hit me? When I went to jury duty, I was on a case that involved sexual assault. And the judge asked each juror if we had ever been molested or sexually assaulted. And everybody that led up to me were saying, yeah. Then when it got to me, I almost said no, but I thought about it. I have been. So they excused me from the case, but it made me think that's a part of my story. I'm not pitching a tent right there. Trust me, don't get it twisted. But I am an overcomer of what has happened to me. It has not defined me, but it has, in a way, made me who I am. I look at things differently because of what I've been through. And that's why I want to talk about how we discipline children and particularly corporal punishment. Can I be really honest? And I want you to be honest too. I feel like, yes, Coach Fee, our stories help us develop and mature. I am who I am because of what God has brought me through. I can't hide from that. And my testimony, even the painful parts of my life, still give God glory because I can help other people. Because even though you ain't talking, let me show y'all this. The body keeps the score, even when you don't tell the story. This book was recommended by my therapist. I ain't got past the first chapter. It's got so many highlights in it. Because even though you think you are right, and maybe you are, silence is not always golden. Things are happening in your mind that's trickling down to your body that's causing some kind of diseases and discomfort. And you wonder, where that ache and pain come from? Unforgiveness is a seed that could lead to dis-ease. Come on now. I'm just being real. So what made me think about this topic is growing up, can we be honest? I feel that in our culture that we glorify whooping and beating our kids. I mean, think about it. I brought you in this world. I take you out. I've heard that. I don't care how big and tall you get, I'll climb up the ladder and smack your face. We tend to glorify the violent side of corporal punishment, but we don't talk more about the discipline or the nurture or the cultivation of the behaviors you want your child to exemplify. We go and get the biggest switch. I've seen extension cords. I didn't see people get beat with bats as kids. And we use the word of God to justify that. And I just don't feel comfortable with that. I don't. Now, I am not saying you should not spank your child or whoop your child. But if you already have violent tendencies, I wonder if you, when you whooping them, do you see them or baby daddy? When you whoop your daughter or your son, do you see your employer who made you mad? Or that boyfriend that ran out on you? I got to be transparent. I got to be transparent because my daughter is 20. And only a couple times in my lifetime with parenting have I put my hand on her. But when I did, can I be real? I saw red. I saw blood. And it's nothing that baby did that should have had me in that kind of rage. It's the rage that makes it abusive. So tonight, I'm going to start this discussion about corporal punishment. I am open to all perspectives. You can agree, or we can agree to disagree. I'm open to that. And we're going to go to the Bible on it as well. But I want to start with a couple of articles about this topic. And I want to say that I'm using these articles under the Fair Use Act, Section 107, that states the fair use of copyrighted work for purposes as criticism, comment, news reporting, and teaching, scholarship, and research is not an infringement of copyright. I got to put that out there because I'm going to be reading articles that I didn't write. And I have to give honor to the authors of these articles. Someone sat down and did the research to write what I'm going to be, you know, looking at tonight. And I want to make sure it's clear that I didn't write it. I don't own it. And I will be telling you the name of the author and what magazine or book or whatever that I bring information from. I'm real big on giving people their props because I'm going to be writing some books someday and I would want someone to do the same for me. So I want to start with an article that talks about spanking or whooping being an appropriate form of discipline. Okay. We're going to start with the pro spanking argument. Then we'll go to the anti-spanking argument and then we'll land on what the word of God says. Okay. So this article is from Time Magazine, all right? It is written by Jared Pingleton. It's about 10 years old, I will say. September 16, 2014. Dr. Jared Pingleton is a clinical psychologist. I called this the psychology about spanking, all right? So I had to bring in some research. So he is a clinical psychologist and minister. Hey, Sunette. Thank y'all for joining this evening. Love y'all. And he served as director for the Focus on the Family's Counseling Department. I had to find the people who did the research. I'm not a doctor, physician, researcher, or anything. I just got experience. But for this topic, I wanted to go and find some data from those who have studied the psychological effects of spanking in children. All right. All right. So in his role as a psychologist and a minister, he is the leadership coordinator for 13 licensed mental health professionals and 2 chaplains. So Dr. Jared has experience when it comes to mental health, psychology, and ministry. So I would say he's qualified. All right. So the article starts out talking about running back Adrian Peterson. If you didn't know, and again, this is all written in Time Magazine, no speculation, but in 2013 or so, NFL running back Adrian Peterson was arrested for allegedly abusing his 4-year-old child. Okay. Now, the gist of the story from my own research is the baby said something or did something that the dad thought was wrong, and he went to spank him in his car seat, and he ended up allegedly, because I don't want to mess nothing up, allegedly he ended up hitting his head on something, resulting in an injury. This is all in the news. I'm not making this up. But I want to set the stage for this article, okay? So, in our community, I'm going to put a bookmark right here. I'm speaking from the African-American perspective, because that's what I am, okay? I have seen people glorify whooping, beating. Oh, I tore his tail up. I got his tail. Look at my face. I got his tail. I have seen single moms come out of stores grabbing their kids up by the collar and hitting them or talking to them like they are grown men. It scares me. Okay, let me get personal. In my home, and let me preface it, I love my family, I love my parents, but I'm just going to be real about my own experiences and about mine with my child without getting too deep and personal. But growing up, I remember a lot of yelling, a lot of physical violence. I have a cap on the front of my tooth from getting hit with keys. Keys. That is why I tend to be a little nervous about corporal punishment. What I have found, this man was a running back. Can you imagine a running back putting his hands on a child? And again, I don't know this man. I'm not here to defame him. This is an article by Time Magazine. Allegedly. All right? Hitting his child. If he put even a third of the brunt force that a running back would have, do you wonder why that child allegedly had a head injury? Okay? Because here is what makes me nervous about corporal punishment. If you're doing it in rage and an adult is putting all of their might and strength into hitting a child, you could unlife them. You could hurt them. And that's why I believe if we're going to do corporal punishment, if we're going to do spankings and whoopings, it has to be controlled and it has to accompany language, discussion, teachable moments. Because if you had a bad day, mama, daddy, can we be real today? Come on. Can I be real? If you had a bad day, and if you've got a job that literally has broken your spirit, and you had a boss that stayed on you with their thumb for the dumbest reasons, and you go home with that spirit on you, you've been hurt, you done had road rage, somebody done cut you off, almost caused an accident, and you go home with that spirit, with that rage in you, the first thing that baby does wrong, you about to hit him. If you don't do this thing right and back up. Sinet says, I'm torn. I believe in spankings, but not abuse. As a child who was whooped with belts, cords, shoes, etc. And to be honest, Sinet, I'm torn too. Because as a child, I can remember my mama's blows with her fist, or twigs and switches and extension cords and whatever she can get to, shoes, keys. She threw her keys at me and cut my whole front tooth jagged. And again, this is not to embarrass, humiliate, or whatever. Parents do the best they can in the time they live in with the mindset they have at that time. I survived it, but it hurt. Can I be honest? It hurt when your parent comes at you with that kind of force. Like you some, let me watch my words, like you some dude on the streets. That's why I say, if you are going to spank your children and you have a rage problem, a depression problem, an anxiety problem, PTSD problem, I think you should back up. Because I'm not sure, Sunette, that when a person that's already enraged launches out, I don't think they're seeing that child. They're seeing whatever and whoever wronged them. And we got to be careful. How do I know? Because I felt the rage. As a single mom, stressful job, couldn't find a good man, couldn't keep a relationship, wasn't married until after 40. I have to admit, my daughter was the closest thing to me, and she did not get the best version of me. Can we be honest? I mean, let me drink my water, y'all. I'm not going to tell someone not to spank their child. Those who we chastise, we love. And the Bible even says when you don't chastise them, you must hate them. But my problem is for the enraged parent, okay? If you beaten that child senseless, you hate them too. So you hate them if you don't beat them, but you hate them because you beat them too much. Where is the balance? Where do we draw the line? The NFL running back's son was 4. How much blunt force, allegedly, okay, can you give a 4-year-old? Your spanking, your whooping should not leave marks and injuries and have these kids in dango hospital. That's what I'm talking about right there. Are we taking this thing too far because we already have some mental health issues? Come on. We, in our house growing up, my mama had a very stressful job. She was one of the first, if not the first, African-American female buyer, senior buyer for GM in the Detroit area. My mom is brilliant, smart, educated, hard worker. She ran that office, but never got the accolades that she deserved, never got the promotions she deserved, got passed over. So how do you think those passovers and not getting what you deserve, that affected her mentally? So when you come home drained from working all day and don't nobody appreciate you, who gets that? Your family. Your family gets that all of that stress. Your family gets that. Sunette says, sometimes our beatings are worse due to the parents' childhood. Oh, Sunette. Bingo. 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 Their trauma carried over and now it's perpetuated. That's why I'm nervous about when this thing goes too far. Because can I be honest? I don't know much about my parents' childhood, my dad or my mom. My parents are in the baby boomer generation. And from what I can tell, that generation don't talk about that kind of stuff. I don't know if my parents got beat as kids, but in that generation, a lot of corporal punishment was going on. That's what was taught in our community. Black folk beat their kids. Can we just be honest? We tend to beat our children in this community. Now, if you out there and you're not black, chime in. Do y'all beat y'all kids too? Non-black people? Or are y'all talking? and using the corner, going the corner. No, we got beat. Okay? Go get me a switch and don't come back with a small one. Go get me the whole tree stump. Baseball bats, extension cords. That has been passed down, y'all. But I wanted to talk about it because the question becomes, what does that do to the child psychologically? And you don't want the child to go beating nobody, but you beating them. Where do you do that at? Make it make sense. If you want that child to be Martin Luther King, nonviolent, but you being violent to them, what are you teaching them? I just don't like it. Sinesi is right. They don't talk about stuff. That's the thing. If we, man, I really want us to talk more about our personal experiences, good, bad, and the ugly in families. I don't know anything about my mom's upbringing in terms of the climate in the household. Maybe my granddad beat her. I don't know. But what I do know is that because of her stressful job, she had a couple of failed marriages. Her second husband was sexually abusive to me. That was stressful to her, I'm sure. All of this stress, financial woes, because her third and last husband had several kids under 18, so that's child support was hitting that check. So all of this frustration on the shoulders of one person, and then the child, and I ain't saying I was a perfect child, but I wasn't that bad either. The child gets all of this frustration, all of this rage, and you want to know why the relationship can be a little troubling. Because all I know about you is your violence, ma'am. You can't do all discipline and all whooping and no nurture, all beating and no love, all beating and no talking, all beating and no conversation. Coach Fee says, yes, baby boomers spanked their children. They were spanked and their children before them. I recently read something that talked about how this tradition came through slavery, a learned behavior. And that makes sense. Yes, it is. It is scriptural. It is. But I wonder, Coach Fee, do we take that too far? And we don't. Okay, got it, Coach Fee. I wonder if we take that too far. Because you really should be intentional. If you plan to spank your child, there should be a discussion. Little Johnny, listen to me. I told you 5 times. Do not sneak out of the house. You keep sneaking out of the house. You got caught coming in. If you get hurt out there, somebody can hurt you, unlife you, and I won't have you. So because you deliberately disobeyed, come on, Mufasa. You deliberately disobeyed me, little Johnny. Simba, I'm going to spank you. Because if you go out again, something happened to you, that's on me. I'm your parent. You got to have a conversation. The reason I'm spanking you is because you could have gotten hurt in these streets. Sinesse says, and you wonder why your kid beat up others or they get beat up and bullied. Come on. What are you doing in that house? What are you showing that child concerning violence? That it's okay that if you're mad, just start whooping, just start swinging. Elder Cobb says, it's not reasonable to expect nurturing from a person who did not receive it. They can't pour from an empty cup. Wow. The capacity isn't there. So how many parents that were not nurtured had children who need nurture? Wow. Wow, Elder. Coach Fee says, I always talk to my children before and after. Come on. Before and after, but that didn't change the impact. Wow. Wow. I remember things like, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Just these little sayings. And I remember in the moment of, because my mom's whoopings would be very just, what's the word I'm looking for? Unpredictable. I had a mouth on me as a kid. And most kids, you know, can be able to mouth even when they get to a certain age of feeling themselves, whatever. So I would say something, talk back. We used to call it talking back. And I would, yeah, mama, blah, 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 blah. And you think everything okay? And then out of nowhere, wham! This big open-handed smack in the mouth. That's how I lost one of my front tooth. Because she had keys in her hand. The last time she whammed me, she had keys in her hand. And again, I love my mom. And we're in a much better place than we were a year ago. Thank you, God. And thank you, Elder Cobb, for helping me walk through the forgiveness process. But some things happened in that house that stuck with me. And trauma is a time traveler. And I took some of that stuff into my parenting. And I recognized that I hurt my daughter in some things that I've said or done. And I want us to be better in terms of talking through things and understanding certain kinds of behavior. Elder Cobb says we can't go back and undo the learned behavior. But if we see things differently now, it's okay for parents to apologize and say, I got it wrong. And that's what I have to do, Elder Cobb. I've had to tell my daughter, I got it wrong. I thought that when I punished you or spanked you or whooped you for talking back or for sassing me or for whatever, that I was doing the right thing. And maybe I was, but I was already enraged because of other stuff. And I gave you all my rage. When I reached back and you putting all of your brunt force into a hit on a child, who are you fighting? What spirits are you fighting? That's what I'm talking about. Some of us are fighting some demons, but our children get the brunt force of that. Coach Fee says the first time I saw Tyler Perry playing Madea, I thought he had met my grandmother, but he was much milder than her. She was a very loving woman, but she didn't play at all. Let's stop at that point. Good point, Coach Fee. In our culture, okay, that whole grandmama don't play. She ain't gonna let you be out here wilding out. It was affection, in a sense, to them to beat our butts because it was supposed to teach us unacceptable behavior. At the end of the day, isn't spanking, whooping, corporal punishment designed to explain or to show a child what behaviors are and are not acceptable in society, and to protect them because down the line, especially our young men, our young black boys, are going to be out in the world. And when you get pulled over by a police officer, I need you to be able to live through that experience and don't be, you know, dead. And we got to call Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. So a lot of this is supposed to be a training. Spanking, chastising, it's all supposed to be a culmination of my job as your parent is to train you into becoming a productive adult and teaching you how to act in society when I'm not around. But unfortunately, it goes too far. So that says my mom feels that by not getting enough love, Grands loved us but did not show a lot of it. Okay. Elder Cobb says all discipline isn't filled with rage. I agree with that. There is healthy discipline. If you are, as Coach Fee said, talking to your child, remember when I told you not to do this and you did it anyway? And the article even talks about, we're going to get to this too. This is just a good conversation. You should be giving your child a warning. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. When you notice a behavior that's unacceptable, before you go just whooping down on them, should you not say, little Johnny, stop doing that. I'm warning you. If you do it again, I'm going to have to spank you because that stove is hot. Don't go touch the stove, the knives, because if you cut it on and cause a fire, we can all be hurt. Leave the stove alone. Do you hear me? Leave it alone. If you go over there again, I am going to spank you because that is fire. And that can cause our house to burn down. And that can cause us to be harmed. Where is the language that comes along with the action of physical discipline? If you are so ready to hit and pounce, but you ain't talking, I got a problem with that. And that's why it's being called abuse in many cases. And think about the children who have been in homes where they're just beat just to be a punching bag. How effective is corporal punishment going to be to a child who has been abused, literally abused? That's not going to be effective. You're going to trigger them. You're going to trigger them. Okay. Coach Fee says we can't change the past and the impact that it had on us, but we can learn, change. We can change learned behavior. There it is. Anything learned can be unlearned. I agree. Elder Cobb says our ancestors were told by the slave owners that the beatings were to keep us in line. And that probably was the seed that started a lot of this. And it reminds me of The Color Purple. You told Hoppo to beat me? Because that's what they did. Men beat women in the period that that particular movie depicts. That was a known fact. Your wife starts sassing you, beat her. Your kids start acting up, beat them. But I don't know if we talked about the before and the after, the actual discipline part that did not include the rage. Your discipline should not include rage. Mine did. My mom's did. I'm being honest, y'all. Sonette says, and we have to start talks early on. Yes. Don't just run to spanking as your first option without talking. And I see that in public. And this article, we're going to get to this, talks about the fact that your spanking and your discipline should be private. I've learned that the more the child embarrasses the parent, the heavier they're going to go with the public humiliation and the public spanking. You embarrass me, I'm a what? Embarrass you. That's what I was told growing up. It's not private anymore. Don't you see in our culture, it's customary to see a Black mama dragging her child by the ear. Get over here. I said, don't touch nothing. So to your point, Elder Cobb, if that seed was planted going all the way back to our ancestry, where beatings were synonymous with control, keeping in line, keeping people together, good behavior, like the whips, when the slave owners would have those whips, cracking them on the slaves, get together, be quiet, get back to work. So that those seeds are planted. I just feel like, knowing what we know, and thank you for bringing these great points out, everybody, we have got to change the narrative here. Coach Fee says, for me as a mother and as a leader, discipline is always meant to be corrective and not punitive. That's where you get discipline versus punishment. But I had to learn that as I matured. That's why I do what I do, y'all. I want us to mature. That still does not change the impact that it has on a child. That's why it changed from a first resort for me to a last resort, to almost eliminate it. Let's go there, Coach Fee. Thank you for that. Because that segues into what this article is saying. The article suggests that your spankings should only be happening when that child is smaller. That by the time that child becomes an adolescent, you really should not be doing as much spanking and should be doing more talking. this article is saying if you spanking a 19-year-old, something didn't go right. This article is saying there is a process. If you're going to use spanking or in moderation, it should be happening at a young age. Little Johnny, don't touch that. Little Susie, come sit down. I'm going to spank you. I tried to tell you 3 times and you have not listened. I'm telling you right now, sit down or you're going to get a spanking, little Susie. Okay, you tried it. Here it is. Now, I spanked you because I told you, sit down. We are at a bus station. If you start running and fall off the tracks, you're going to get hurt. So by the time you get to the adolescent stage, this article in Time Magazine is saying you shouldn't have to spank as much if you're doing this in a healthy way. That's what it's saying. Snet says, I was told don't ask, look, touch, and don't breathe too loud. I was told the same thing, Snet. Elder Cobb says, that was the speech we got every time before we were getting out of the car. Now, when we get in this door, do not act like you ain't got no home training. I got that same talk, Elder Cobb. And I believe my mama, and she ain't have to say too much to me because she can give me a look. And I would crumble. I would. But I'm going to the beauty supply store. I see a young mom and she might be 19, 20, 21. And she's got a little son that may be 3. Shut the F up. I told you. I'm going to beat you. I'm going to knock your face off. I'm going to strangle you. The language. And that's in public. I'm scared. What is she doing in private? If you're telling a child you're going to cut them, punch them, beat them, unlife them, you're telling them these things. So to me, if you say that to a child, you have the propensity of acting on that. It's the language. Elder Cobb, that look, my mother would give me a look. She was the choir director. And if I was doing too much chitter and chatter and she turned around and I was talking too much, she had this look that straightened me right out. But I will say this. One day, I was young. I had to be more kind of like maybe 10 or 12 at our church. And the kids were kind of congregating in the hallway before church or in between services. And my mom came out there and she said something to me. Go sit down, blah, 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 blah. She was very aggressive. My mother has a very heavy voice. She was very aggressive. And she kind of embarrassed me in front of my friends. So me feeling embarrassed under my breath, so I thought, I said, shut up. And she whipped around like, what did she just say? What did you say? And my friend gonna say, she said, shut up. I'm like, dang, dude, throw me under the bus. She did a Matrix. Have you all seen the Matrix movie? She did some kind of karate movement and her arm started doing the Matrix moving and it was just slow motion, Karate Kid, Matrix, Bruce Lee, all in one. And she smacked me so hard that I think my brain shifted and I'm not even playing with that. Because she was embarrassed. First, I was embarrassed for her coming out there hollering at me. Second, I embarrassed her by saying shut up under my breath. So now the rage is, how dare you? When I tell you she hit me so hard and all the church people came running like, stop, stop, stop. They had to literally like tell her, hold on, because she was seeing red. Now, what I said was wrong, y'all. I own that. I was a kid. But I don't think it was worthy of a hit that hard and in public. She could have grabbed me by my coat, come in the bathroom. But a part of the beating and the whooping and the public humiliation, what parents, they get so embarrassed by their child's behavior, it becomes a competition. You embarrass me, I'm going to turn right back around and embarrass you. I'm telling you, Elder, it was a lot. It was a lot. Sonette says, as a daycare teacher, we could not beat the kids. I do a look, take stuff away, no snacks. They got food, but no candy. So that's a form of discipline. And for those who are against spanking, they are pro more discipline, talking, taking away privileges, maybe. So listen to this. At Focus on the Family, that's the company that Dr. Jarrett worked for it back in 2014. We believe that parents have been entrusted with the incredible privilege and responsibility of shaping their children's behavior in a positive direction. Unfortunately, each of us enters this world with desires that are selfish, unkind, and harmful to others and ourselves. Spanking, then, can be one effective discipline option among several in a parent's tool chest as they seek to steer their children away from negative behaviors and guide them towards ultimately becoming responsible, healthy, happy adults. Isn't that the objective, everybody? I want to mold my child in a way where she or he understands what behaviors are acceptable. We acknowledge what's negative and we change the negative ones, have some positive behaviors, and I'm teaching them how to be better adults. You can't teach them that if you are hitting them so hard you are shifting their brain. You're an abuser. And I stand on that. And I'm going to say this. I got so tired as a child of getting swung on that one day, I'm not proud of this, but I got so tired of being swung on, I started swinging back. Yes, I had to ask God to forgive me. I probably was about 14. But I got tired. How much violence and beating do you think a child is supposed to take without it being healthy and in context with a teachable moment? You just wham, wham, wham. And anytime the church people have to come say, stop, 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 sister, stop hitting her. You hurting her. You need medical attention and you need help. I'm just being really honest and transparent tonight. Elder Cobb, I am just being really honest. And if you are out there and you ain't got to say nothing, if you're out there and you've experienced that, or you are the parent and you are hitting your child excessively to where they have visible bruises, head concussions, going to the emergency, please stop and get help. The reason why I bring this up is because of what was happening to me as a child. It kept me paranoid. It kept me on edge. It kept me anxious. And fast forward, 3.5-4 decades, I'm in counseling and therapy for some of this stuff, y'all. And I want us to be open and honest and talk about it. Sunette says, I ask parents not to go into debt for their kids. It's up to parents to teach and reward them. If they not doing what you said, stop buying the Nikes. Stop buying the latest iPhones. One way you teach children is by talking about, okay, well, if you keep your grades up, sure, I'll give you extra allowance. But if you don't, you're not going to get anything. Those are consequences, are a form of discipline as well, that don't even involve you physically harming them. Now, true enough, there are children who are unruly for whatever reason, and they may have their own violent propensities, and you may have to get help for those children. There may be a diagnosis involved. There could be something going on. I just don't know if I feel as though fighting violence with violence is effective. I'm just not convinced, y'all. I'm not. Let's keep on going with this article. Dr. Jared says, it is vital, however, that spanking be administered within proper guidelines. The reports about the punishment meted out by Peterson, the NFL guy, and the consequent injuries the four-year-old suffered, allegedly, indicate that the behavior on that occasion was far outside of the boundaries. Let me stop right there. Again, this is an article. What happened with the NFL player in 2013 is in the news. I'm not making it up, but I cannot say for sure what he did and did not do. But he was in court and was arrested for abuse to the four-year-old. And it started out allegedly with a conversation. The child had done something or said something wrong. He went to physically spank the child, and the child ends up allegedly with a head injury. 4 years old. If you're gonna do spanking, it should not involve your whole brunt force of your body. You're not in the fight of your life when it's your child. You are not fighting an adult. You're not fighting a bear that's about to kill you, or a lion. You are spanking a child. So I believe you ought to be in your mindset ought to be in a place where, okay, little baby of mine, little giant, little Susie, mama gonna spank you. Okay, it's gonna hurt, but I'm spanking you because I warned you, you didn't listen. I warned you a second time, you didn't listen. What you did was dangerous. It could result in blank. So now I have to spank you. So let me go ahead and spank you. Okay, now that I spanked you, I know you're crying. I know it hurt. Dry your eyes. But I have to remind you, now in the future, don't do blank. That's the before and after discussion that Coach P was talking about. But if we're putting our brunt force into an encounter with a child, that is called rage. I felt that many times. And psychologically, let me tell you what it did to me. It made me think that my parent was the enemy. That I had to protect myself from my own parent. How do you think that makes a child feel? You're supposed to be my protector, my lifeline parent. But if you are coming in here with a fist balled up, like it's me and you, you against the world, like you Tupac, and you duking it out with a child. No, no, no. Back away. Call a lifeline. Call the aunties. Call the grandparents. Get help. Make an appointment. Those aren't your little punching bags. Those aren't your, you know how you go to the gym and you punching something? That's not who these children are. They came from you. And your love for them does want to make them want to be better, but your love for them should not make you want to hurt them at that level. But like it was said by, I think it was Coach Fior Elder Cobb, if that parent has experienced that, their trauma could be showing up in their parenting. Trauma is a time traveler. It is. Let me go back to the article. So, properly understood and administered. Properly understood and administered. Spanking is most effective as a deterrent to undesirable behavior for younger preschoolers. Here comes the context. Younger preschoolers, but never for infants. That's because reasoning and taking away privileges often simply don't work with kids in that age range. As children age, listen here, spanking should become even less frequent as other types of consequences are utilized. Yeah, spankings should be phased out completely, according to this article. This is the article, before adolescence. So this particular psychologist, mental health professional says there is age caps to when you should start and end the spanking. and begin introducing other types of consequences. They love that smartphone? Take that phone away and see what happens. Baby, these kids are hooked to these smartphones. You threaten to take that phone, and you may see the best behavior you didn't see in a long time. Extra chores. You can't go to this place. You can't go to that place. Can't hang out here. We're talking about alternate ways of discipline. It doesn't always have to be physical. Chastising. Is chastising always physical to y'all? I'll put that question out there. I'll keep going. We almost done tonight. Generally speaking, we advise, that's this, the doctor that wrote this, he advises parents that corporal discipline should only be applied in cases of willful disobedience or defiance of authority, never just for mere childish responsibility. So y'all smacking these kids around for the most smallest infraction, we may have a problem. If you're just coming in, we are talking about the case for spanking, against spanking, and then we're going to eventually land on the biblical perspective. I am LHG with Tiny Hair is Good. And if you've never seen me, my show, we're always talking about the different wellness areas, physical, mental, etc. And I've learned in my lifetime that things are coming up in my life now on a delayed reaction that I'm just now saying, ooh, that did disturb me. That did move me. That did shake me. That is a trigger. I'm at 48 years old and I'm just now really dealing with some stuff that I experienced in my lifetime as a kid. And again, it's not to humiliate or degrade my parents in any way. No parent is perfect. But we cannot gloss over the fact that some of our practices just aren't right. Just aren't right. Sunette says, take away the clothes, the name brand clothes, the PlayStation. And Elder Cobb says, chastisement can be either physical or verbal. So we don't have to always lean to the physical. That could be a part of it within reason and within a healthy boundary. But I believe when we are chastising our children, that there should be some verbal discussion. That child should not just leave away with a burnt butt. That child should just leave with whips on their arms and legs from that. That child should understand my mom and my dad love me. They chastised me to teach me because what I was doing could hurt me or hurt others. So as my parent, they are doing their job. And chastisement is even a spiritual thing. Doesn't God chastise his children in different ways? Do you not have encounters with the Lord where he's had to break you down on some things? And it don't always feel good, but it's always for your good. Wow. This is good. I'm going to wrap up and then we're going to do part two. But we're talking about the case for spanking right now. But what I want to talk about is the element of humiliation. I want us to talk about the fact that do we believe that corporal punishment or chastising our kids should happen in a public place? I've seen some encounters that really broke my heart between moms and children, from the yelling, from the cursing, from the grabbing. And you wonder why people are calling Child Protective Services because you're out here in the public, literally going to town as if you are, you know, in an encounter with a grown person. But then the other thing is, if you take it private, how worse will it be? Sunette says also no playing sports, theater, or clubs. When you take away the things that they love the most and you put it in the context of, I'm taking this because I've warned you, I've asked you to stop doing this, or your grades have not been up to par, you're failing in your classes. So to combat the failing in the classes, no phone after this time, no other projects or no other fun stuff to focus on your schoolwork. There has to be some context in this, y'all. And I'm wondering if we are missing out on the context part. Too many rides, not enough language. I'm gonna get off here. We're gonna do part two. Thank you all for joining me. I'll be back next Saturday. Will I be back next Saturday? Let me look at my calendar. Yes, I'll be back next Saturday at 5 p.m. We'll do part two. If you would like to be in the studio and discuss this on air with me, I would love to have you as a guest. Thank you, everyone who came through. I also want you to follow a few people, Elder Sandra Cobb and Elder Chrissy Lawson, forgiveness coach and licensed therapist. They did a Zoom call today called The Link Between Mental Health and Forgiveness. It was an amazing conversation for those of you who partook in that. It was awesome. So I need you to, yes, I'm going to do that before we come off the air, Elder Kyle. We're going to pray. But if you are looking to learn more about mental health and you want to have some resources, please follow Elder Sandra Cobb and Elder Chrissy Lawson. Elder Cobb has a book called Free to Forgive. Elder Chrissy is a licensed therapist, and they do Zooms and events that promote mental health awareness. So feel free to follow them. Also, there is a Facebook group called Finally I Choose Me. That is Dr. Chrissy Lawson's group. We talk about how you choose yourself and your mental health on your healing journey. We are going to continue to pray for each other because parents need help. Children need help. Parents are traumatized. Children are traumatized. We are hurting. Many of us are hurting. I pray for my mom. And to be honest with you, before I forgave, I didn't pray for her. I'm just going to be honest. I was so hurt by some things that were done or not done that I withheld my prayers. That was wrong. I had to repent to God for that. You can't hold back no prayer. She is a child of God just like I am. And my mom, it wasn't all bad. She gave me what I needed. I had place to live. I had food. I had clothes. But yeah, there were challenges. And I'm not the best parent either. My daughter may have a podcast in a couple of years and may be talking about me one day. So we're going to pray about parents and children. Please follow Critical Conversations on Facebook and on YouTube. Love each other always. Yes, Sinead. That's a good place to end the night. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for another evening of information and impartation and discussion and conversation. Confession breeds healing, so we are on a healing journey. Lord, those of us who have been hurt by our childhood experiences, God, we ask you for healing deep down and help us to forgive and help us to be able to move and forward and process what has happened and overcome by faith what has happened to us and learn and even glean from the experiences and be stronger and better from it. Help us to stay connected with each other and know that we are not alone in our experiences and that each of us has a powerful and unique story. And God, you get the glory out of our story. So God, today, anyone who is experiencing mental health challenges, dis-ease or mental turmoil, I pray for them. That God, number one, that they have salvation and a hope in you. And number two, that they are able to connect with the body of Christ in a Bible-believing teaching ministry where they can be loved on. And number three, that if they are in need of therapy or mental health services, that they're not too embarrassed to seek the help that they need. Jesus and therapy, biggie size for me, Lord God. I thank you, God, that you're opening up our eyes and our hearts to discussing things that we've held in our bodies and our minds that have made us sick, that we are releasing things in this season, that we are becoming whole in every area in this season. I thank you for every person who came through this live chat and those who will watch the replay. Let them be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. I will see you next week at 5. Meet me here Monday at 2:30 for Power Hour. Tuesday is Girl Chat Weekly. Please follow Trailblazers with the Z Radio. Thank you. If I triggered anybody, I'm sorry. I should have gave a disclaimer. This is not meant to trigger, but to teach and to talk and to touch base and to let you know that you're not alone. No matter what has happened to you, God is with you and you're not alone. So I love you all. Have a great evening, and I will see you Monday at 2:30. Bye, everybody.